N0TR N4ZLK.
Lucky day. Let me turn this atmospheric noise off the HF. Just got downstairs, went out and turned the sprinkler on the backyard a little while. Good to hear you, Shane. What you up to tonight?
You catch me at about the same place every night when you call me. I'm headed back from Spartanburg. Bobtailing back after dropping a load up there and head back to Greenville and then take a trailer down to Atlanta.
I never like to be behind the semis, but I'll tell you what, I like them because of the rocks and stuff they can pick up. But I never do mind. You got to giddy up and go.
Up a little faster without trailers on it. And they've tuned them down so much now, trying to get as much fuel mileage out of them as possible, that they don't have a lot of power.
Power is one of those things, Shane. You got any idea?
I don't know what this one is. I probably should look at some point. Sorry, I can't tell you.
Curious. It'd mean more to Patrick than it would to me. He knows them diesels upside down and backwards. Well, what brand of trucks do they drive, all the same?
Several Kenworths and some Macs, and then here in Greenville, I've got one Freightliner, and that's the one I drive. Let's see. Pretty much that is this area, Macs, Kenworths, Freightliners. Trying to think, was there anything else? We used to have internationals. We still have a couple around, I see, but not as many as we used to. Now, it depends on the area. Sometimes they stick to certain brands in certain areas just so they can, working on them is a little bit easier if they're all pretty much the same.
Truck, hopefully, is air conditioned, right?
It gets used, at this time of year, it gets used nonstop, even all the way through the night.
Yeah, but there was a delivery truck here from Prime, I think it was, the other day, and he said that was the very first day they let them get out of the truck, walk to the house and back, and leave the vehicle running, and it's got air conditioning in it. I think I told you that already, but... my gracious. I know it's to save money, and when you're running a fleet like that, that's understandable. But at any rate, sounds like you got a good one there. I used to work at a place called Gulf States Printing in Joplin, Missouri. And I started out as just an electronic technician. But, an industrial electrician. And then later they told me if I get an HVAC license, that I could fill the job of a guy that was leaving there. And I said, well, I got one for 5 ton. They said, oh, no, these things are much bigger than that. So I said, all right. I said, it takes 2 years to get an HVAC certificate from Votech School. I said, I'll do it in 3 months if you'll give me that chance. And they did, and I went to Kansas City, and I think I had to take 3 tests, Shane. But the thing I remember most is when I was on the roof up there carrying 230-pound cakes of R-22, I guess it was, across that white roof in the middle of summertime. If you look across the ways, and I think it was CFI, and there was a lady actually owned that, and they said that they traded those trucks in at 1,000,000 miles, and they all come in there, and they were black, but when they come out, they were all painted a different color, but boy, that was a big complex out there on I-44.
And I mean, it doesn't take long to get 1,000,000 miles on them, especially if you're over the road. And so you just imagine the number of trucks that people go through. I mean, the one I'm driving now, it's fairly new. It's got 600,000 miles on it. $599,734. And it still runs like it's fairly new. The one I used to drive before this one had 1.6 million miles on it.
Unimaginable. Well, diesels, they're good engines, and I guess in relation to a fuel-injected gas engine, I guess they're fairly simple in that, well, they work off of compression. But I always wondered how they lasted that long when I think they run 18 to 1 or up to 22 to 1 or something like that. That's a lot of compression in those engines. But I've heard they go that far. But, gosh, ain't that complex over there. Now, they sold a few years ago. But that complex had to be 100 acres or so. I mean, it was gargantuan. I always marveled at how many trucks was out there. And I could see from the roof across the highway and over to their business. It was right there by it. Very interesting.
I think most people don't realize how many trucks are out on the road at any given time and how much their life, their livelihood, their daily food, everything they wear, everything they have basically probably was on a truck at some point. And all these regulations they're trying to put in, trying to make them go electric and all this stuff, if they keep doing it, it's going to really put a hurt on everybody.
Well, TR, yeah, I just looked through the highlights of the news on the computer, and I always look at Fox, and then I look at Yahoo, but Yahoo had one on there, or I think it might have been on Fox, but I didn't click on it, but it said that the electric cars, and especially the Teslas, the owners were very dissatisfied and were having lots of problems with them. But they're even talking about people like John Deere and that doing it with combines and tractors. Can you imagine being out in the middle of I-85 with a car, no matter the brand, and having the battery go dead, Shane? And if it's a semi, oh my God, I mean, that's just unbelievable. And think of the weight that it adds to it and the wear and tear on the roads. And then they'll tax them more because they're not paying that road tax from the gas tax, you know. I think Dave Watson told me even on a hybrid, you'd have to ask Dave, but it has something to do with it being a hybrid that his taxes went up.
Do that. They're like, years ago, they're like, oh, we can save on fuel costs if everybody goes to electric. And then some people started going to these hybrids and electrics, and all of a sudden they said, wait, we're not getting the tax revenue we used to. We're going to have to put a tax on an electric or a hybrid because we're not getting the money we used to since they're moving off the fuel.
Correct. It's 22, I guess you call it. Well, I drove an Avalon hybrid, and that's what Dave's wife has, and she's very happy with it, and Dave is too. And he said even though it was a four-cylinder, he said it had all the giddy-up there was. And I drove this one and down here at Greer Toyota, but it was black, and the wife didn't want black. She says they get dirtier faster. And we'd always had white or gray. Even had a gold one, but didn't want to ever have a gold one again because that's the one we got hit by the flying nun in. She said, no, that's an unlucky color. We're not buying another one of those. But I didn't buy it on that account. It had 20,000 miles on it. But Dave said the mileage is tremendous. And I said, well, Dave, you're used to Nissan Maximum with over 300 horse in it. I mean, way up in the horsepower. And I said, did it have enough giddy up for you? And he says, oh, absolutely. And he says, the mileage was pretty incredible on it. So I guess they do have some benefits, but, you know, he would trade it off, I think he said, in about 6 years or so, because if you keep it much longer, they're over $10,000.
Or is that LK? Yes, and if you got to do that, plus all the other maintenance and wear and tear over those years, it's not going to be very cost efficient. I do like a hybrid over just straight electric. I think there's a good market for hybrids, a good place for them. I watched a video, I think Patrick sent it to me or told me about it. The guy was building a hybrid tractor trailer up in Canada, or tractor anyway, not trailer. And he got it running. He's trying to get it through, past all the inspections to get it tested for the road. But he pulled like 120,000 pounds, just was pulling it around his yard like it was nothing. It had a smaller diesel engine, and then the battery packs like they use with trains, the same kind of wheel system on the rear axles, electric motors on the rear axles. And I thought that was a good idea because it was a fairly small diesel generator that would just kick on when needed to charge up the battery.
TR with the man on the mountain. Yes, I agree. Makes a lot more sense than electric. But some of that, Toyota dealer we got our car from the last time said that Toyota's not going to make 6 cylinders anymore. They're just making 4 cylinders with turbos. And Patrick said he wasn't too high on those turbos. And you know what? I'd have to say he's probably right, because they run a zillion RPM and they run hot. But, guys, there's a lot of them out on the road now. I'll tell you an odd one. My son-in-law's mom bought a Buick the other day, and he's a mechanical engineer, and he did research and development on cars up in Michigan. Tested them to the nth degree up there in the northern territory of Michigan. I forget what they call it now, but it's very, very bad up there, cold, up towards Lake Superior. But he was surprised at that. It's a 3-cylinder turbocharge. And he said, it's really weird looking, Tom. And the daughter just bought one. And it's a big vehicle. It looks sort of like one of them Ford, remind you of an Expedition, only it's a Hyundai. And she just bought it a couple of weeks ago. And it's a hybrid. And she'll pull in the driveway, and before she ever gets down that driveway, it's already seamlessly changed over to electric. Boy, that sounds weird to me. What I'm afraid of is people's not going to hear these things walking through the Walmart parking lot with a cell phone glued to their face. That could be really tragic.
They are really quiet. As a guy at work, Scott, I don't know what it is. It's a hybrid. I don't know what model, but it's got a little sound to it when he's crawling through the parking lot. And I don't know if that was put there intentionally so you can hear it. We've got some hybrid electric, electric diesel or electric gas package cars that UPS uses here for local deliveries. And they little generator kicks on to charge the battery. They get done delivering, or even in the middle of the day if it goes down, it'll kick on. It sounds like a lawnmower running. It's kind of a nuisance, but it beeps when it's in electric mode and they're driving at a slow speed. They've got it set up where it sets out a little alarm. It's not as loud as a horn alarm, so your car horn, but it would still be annoying to drive it around and have that going off all the time.
Here comes Bernice with a funnel cake. Oh, eat your heart out there, Shane. Amy, I told her, I said, does that got a backup alarm on it? And she said, no, that's the electric motors, Dad. I was really surprised at that.
My under the bridges there at 385, and I didn't catch any of that. If you can hear me, repeat what you just said. I heard something about electric motors.
Is the daughter was backing up in her driveway. I said, has that got a backup alarm on it on purpose? Because I heard the noise that you heard, Shane, and it's not a beep, beep, beep. It's just a constant tone. But if you got good ears, you can hear it. And she said, no, that's just the electric motors, Dad.
I think that's exactly what I heard. It was the electric motor sound. It's kind of a whoo as he went driving by, something similar to that. But it's a little odd, you're right, to hear a car or see a car just start moving and not really hear anything.
I remember reading one time the Toyota Camry or something. The first 11 miles, it would go on electric. But Scott said you pushed down on this one with that 1.4 liter engine in it. And, they've had Corvettes and Mustangs and everything else. He said, oh, no, it's got plenty of horsepower, Tom. He says, it goes like the dickens.
A lot of torque to electric motors. I mean, it would have to be, you know, to pull those trains, pull all that freight like they do. And you get probably a lot more torque out of an electric motor than you can out of a gasoline motor.
Shane, I used to, I don't know about more than a gas motor, but they don't run together, horsepower and torque. But on CNC lathes and some of the bigger boring mills I worked on, they're constant speed and constant horsepower at all times. So that's a great deal of the difference between a gas engine. It develops its torque at a certain RPM that it peaks, in other words. And I'm no expert on it, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
One of the things about a diesel that is more efficient for long hauling and constant running is their torque is at the lower end. And they run the engines at such low RPMs, and they run them at a third to a half of what they're capable of. That's why they last so long.
I think they only run about 2,300. Dad used to tell me a few things about the big diesel engines he drove on the railroad, but they were gargantuan things. But and I'm sure they went millions of miles. Those engines were fascinating then, and they're even more so now with a glass cockpit. But they do have a dead band in them there someplace in their torque characteristics. But for a truck, I think they're just absolutely ideal.
Idle's about 600 RPMs, and then it pulls anywhere from 1,000 RPMs up to about 1,450, 1,500 RPMs before it changes gears.
Well, I was in Kansas City staying at a Holiday Inn one time. They sent me up there from down in the southeast corner where I lived in Pittsburgh. They bought a machine shop. They was going to move the machine tools out of it, but the machine shop was still in operation. But they didn't have anybody that was an electrician, so they sent me up there. And I remember those guys coming in, and it was winter time, and it was cold. They never ever even shut those things off.
WZO monitoring.
They are designed to run. I recognize the other station there, KD9, I believe. Tom, I'm going to have to go. I'm pulled up here, and I'm going to grab a cup of coffee, and then I'm back in my building here in a minute. So enjoy it tonight, and I'll let you pick up the other station. And you and Miss Bernice have a good night and have a good weekend if I don't talk to you. And 4ZLK, go ahead and pick up the other station, Tom.
Okie doke, Shane. Well, I'm glad to catch you. That's great. I really enjoyed it. And the other station, Tango Romeo, my name's Tom.
KD9WZO, I'm sorry, what was your sign again?
Staying with a funnel cake in my mouth, but my wife just brought it down. It's November 0, Tango Romeo. My name's Tom, and I'm located in Greer. Go ahead.
Roger. Roger that. This is JC. I'm actually a truck driver passing through. Was visiting with one of my friends here in the Seneca area with KG4MUK, Wayne. Just sitting in my semi-truck and just showing him my Yaesu portable. I've got the new FTM 500.
Is that a handy talkie?
Newest mobile, the FTM 500.
You're a lucky man. And it's absolutely full quieting on the repeater here. And that was Shane in 4ZLK, if you hear him later on. He's getting ready to pick up some doubles, I think, and head down into Georgia. And always enjoy talking with Shane. He's going to stop and get some coffee. I'm sure that helps to keep you awake on those kind of runs. But he'd been up to Spartanburg, dropped the load, and was bobcatting back down here, and then going to pick up a UPS, I think it is, load here. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is, isn't it, British? Yeah, it's UPS.
So I'm originally from southern Indiana, so like I said, I'm right there on the Indiana-Kentucky state line, but I'm down here sitting off of the 85 at exit 14 for the night, and my buddy Wayne, who actually just got his radio turned on, he'll probably be piping up here in a minute, just dropped me off. We had a nice dinner and fellowship together for a little bit, and I'll be here until in the morning and headed back north to Indiana.
KG4MUK.
KG4MUK recognized. Well, that's great, JC. There is a net starts here at 9 o'clock, so we have to clear off. My wife just brought me down a funnel cake, and I'm just sitting here with a can of ginger ale and a funnel cake and enjoying that, but you sure got you a good rig. I run Yaesu in the car and in my truck, and I've had them for many, many years, and they're great radios, and those newer ones are just about as far uptown as you can get. The other gentleman, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, stranger. This is Wayne, the Southeastern driver. I hadn't been on in a while. It's been a while. I think I checked into the net one day last week, and that was the only time I've been on here. Good to hear you in there. I'm glad JC got to get on the radio a little bit to chit-chat with us, and it's been quite a while. I'm headed northbound up 85, going back to Greenville to the hospital. My wife, Gina, KG4TDR, had heart surgery about 2.5 weeks ago, and I'm going back up here to sit with her for a little while tonight, and, well, I'm going to stay up here. But, yeah, I hope everything's going good your way.
9WZO, go ahead, JC.
Okay, 9WZO. Yeah, I'm just sitting here, and I had my ham radio license for a little over a year now. Just got my first HF set up. I don't have it set up yet. I'm debating on if I want to try to put it in the truck with me since I travel a lot, or whether or not just to set it up at home. So I was in KG4MUK's ham shack a little earlier, and he's got the Big Daddy. He's got the 101 from Yaesu, so he was kind of showing me some of the different filters and things that that thing can do.
I'll let you two pick it up, and I'm afraid my funnel cake rates over both of you, so I'm going to get back to my funnel cake. Nice meeting you both, and pick it up, and I didn't get the call sign of the other gentleman, but the pleasure's all mine, fellas. Have a nice evening there. And you're both welcome to check into the net there at 9 o'clock on this frequency, 73s. This is N0GR, Tom. I'm clear.
MUK, if they have a net starting in 15 minutes, do you want a different channel?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what the tone is for 146.290. I know it's a negative shift, but it's the Kiwi Toxway Amateur Radio Club call. It's K, Q, Wee Talk Sway Amateur Radio Club, KTRC or something like that. But anyway, I think it's basically, when you look it up in a book or look it up online, it'd be the Kiwi Talks, it's a Kiwi Talks Away Amateur Radio repeater. It's 146-290 negative shift, but I don't know what the tone is on it.
My radio will find it automatically when I put in the channel. So what was it, 146 what?
290.
Okay, switching now.
KG4MEK.